So, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us through your living word, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do sit down. It's very nice to be back here again so soon. After the family service, I thought my next visit would be a wedding in September, just after your new Reverend Peter has been installed. But here I am today. I enjoy coming to Elmswell. I enjoy your facilities as much as anything here, but meeting you all too is great. I wish every church had what you've got here, especially the church near where I live in Finborough. Anyway, when John called to say, "Can you come today?" I was busy decorating the kitchen. I've been doing it for, well, since Thursday morning, very early, I guess, and determined to get it done by yesterday. And it's been chaos in the house. That's why I want to get it done. I hate the upheaval of it all the things from the kitchen out in the back hallway and in the dining room, and some of them even in the living room. I don't like that clutter of it all, where it spreads around the other rooms. And I get flummoxed in what order to do things, but I am a woman. You know, should I sand the woodwork first or paint the emulsion first? Should I do the gloss or the emulsion? Which way round is it? And I failed twice in my choice of products. I bought Home Base Own filler. If you can get the top off one of those tubes of filler and get it to come out, you're a better person than I am. In the end, I resorted to cutting the end off and fishing it out with a spoon onto an old tile. It did the job. It's finished, though. By the time John came for his second visit yesterday, and you'll have to ask him why he had to come twice to drop off a service booklet, I had almost done. I was just doing the clearing up and beginning to put things like light shades and whatnot back. The chaos was over. And now it looks wonderful, and I can't resist just walking out to make a cup of coffee and admiring my handiwork as I look around at all that lovely new, clean kitchen. Do you know, sometimes I long to get hold of the church that way, not this church in particular, but the whole Church of England, and create a bit of chaos so that I can sort it out and get it to look a bit like my kitchen. Not all white and clean services, I don't mean that, but I mean get rid of the dust and the stagnation of centuries, get rid of all of that resistance to change, shake it about a bit, sort out all that neglect and argument and conflict, and make the church shiny and clean and fit for its purpose. So you can't resist going in to take a look at it now and again and enjoying being in it. I would love to do that to the church. Sadly, I was born a generation too late as a female in a male establishment. You can see I have a little chip on my shoulder there about that. But in today's gospel reading, we hear Jesus wanting to do much the same. The church hadn't begun then, but the synagogues were all about, and the temple, and the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, much like Church of England, had been around for centuries. Stagnant, dusty, full of decay, resistant to change, conflict at every turn. And he wanted to get hold of them and shake them and say, "You've lost sight of what you're here for. You've lost sight of what it's all about. You've lost sight of God. In all of your worrying about the pettiness of the law and who should do what and when and why, God has fallen out of the picture." And we hear in Jesus' words a kind of urgency. He's only got a little while here on earth. He's got a short time, and he knows that his face is set to Jerusalem. It won't be much longer. How long will he have? Hours, minutes, not days, not weeks, not years, to get them to see what needs to be done. There's a burning passion in him, an urgency to create that chaos so that the people would be returned to God, that God's mission, God's kingdom here on earth might be fulfilled. There's a burning to get things done, a desire to sort it all out, a great passion to do God's work. Do you remember in the Old Testament, we don't read it so often these days, but it's still very relevant. At the beginning, when God's giving the commandments to Moses, he says, I am a jealous God. I am a very jealous God. Love me, we've said, with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love me. I am a jealous God, jealous for your love. And then, if you remember back to Easter, Jesus asking Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? He had to ask Peter three times, do you love me more than stuff? Do you love me more than possessions? Do you love me more than the new car, the cooker, the microwave? Do you love me more than buying a new carpet? Do you love me more than... And it goes on. Do you love me more than friends? Do you love me more than your loyalty to your friends? Do you love me more than family? Do you love me more than those? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I do. Jesus says to his disciples in today's reading, there will be conflict. There will be times when you want to look after your family, but somebody's saying at church, can you? Will you? There will be times when you're hard up and you'll think, I won't put so much in the collection this week or this month. And God is saying, do you love me more than these things? Do you? Our God longs for our love to be passionate, to be whole and just for him, single-minded, burning in our lives for him. He longs for that. God longs that we would love him that much. And he longs that as Christians we would have a passion for his kingdom that equals the passion that Jesus had on that day when he said, there'll be chaos, there'll be conflict, there'll be divisions, but keep your purpose, keep single-minded, keep that passion burning in your lives. It's no good being apathetic. It's no good thinking someone else will sort it out. It's no good watching our television screens and seeing injustice and thinking it's not our task to worry about that. God longs for his kingdom to come here on earth. We can't be a sugar-coated, complacent church if we are following our passion. And it could be a passion for something in our world, or a passion against something, against injustice in our world. But it needs to be a passion, and we need to be single-minded. There will be chaos. There will be conflict. There will be great cost. As the Hebrews reading made plain, all those people of faith that we hear about in that book. This strangely is the way of the kingdom. The glimpse we get of Jesus as he knows the cost, the pain and the death that's approaching. But it's urgent and it's a struggle. And even as we see in his words, how distressed I am until it is all accomplished, we must understand that it's a hard time ahead. It's not joy and peace and love alone. They're perhaps our reward for seeing a job well done. How did Jesus ever get to be called gentle Jesus, meek and mild? It's a misnomer. I don't think Jesus ever was gentle, meek and mild. Because if he was, meek and mild, he would never have gone to Jerusalem at all. He would never have done battle with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. He would never have been arrested. There would have been no Gethsemane and no Calvary. Jesus was a fiery man, a man with a passion. And we see him in our glimpse today in Luke's Gospel as distraught, distressed, frustrated, jealous for the kingdom of God to come here on earth and for his part in that work to be done. He wanted to see the kingdom shiny and clean and fit for purpose, the chaos to be over and peace to reign, God's rule to come here on earth. But you and I know it's not going to happen overnight. I can decorate the kitchen in 3 days, but it's going to take a lifetime of working for the kingdom to make a difference. Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and took his seat at the right hand of God. Amen.